Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. My name is Sean Meehan, and joining me as always is Space Raider Connor Lawler.
I took a drink when you were doing the interview and it went down my nose passage.
Classic hardened Space Raider talk right there. He forgot how to drink. We all knew he had a drinking problem.
It's an audio platform, so sometimes you can get away with a sip or two. But what I did there was I went one sip too many. And we all know that feeling when you think, I've made a deep mistake here.
Yeah, you dug too greedily and too deep.
Yeah,
and
too much my waddy for on one liquid. Man.
Was it my waddy you're on tonight? Excellent.
What my waddy? A strong one, full of liquor.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just strict my waddy. Just tell you that.
Fair enough. Connor, what is it we do here on Hero or Zero?
This is Hero or Zero. We cover one comic book character every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points. And we just generally give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. Now, I normally do DC. Sean normally does Marvel. Last week I did an amazing DC character. Sean normally does middling characters from the Marvel universe. So Sean, this week, who are you going to regale us with tales of?
Connor, I have six words for you.
Okay.
Druig, Lord of Flames and Nightmares.
Right. Okay, real quick. Have we ever had a hero with six words in their title?
I think this is a record. And like we've had, I think the longest might have been something like I did the Fantastic Four. Technically,
no, Gore the God Butcher. That's four.
Gore the God Butcher. That's it. That is four. But yeah, I think Druid, Lord of Flames and Nightmares might take the victory there.
There's a moment there where you were like, fuck, what's his name?
What's
it?
Oh,
you had forgotten because it was so long.
I have a five-word memory. I'm like a goldfish.
Surely, step one of creating a villain or a hero for comic books or any sort of medium is like, we got to make it snappy and like memorable. Like, Superman, it's a nice one. Spider-Man, even better. Captain America, it has a bit of a ring to it. What's this guy's name?
Druig, Lord of Flames and Nightmares.
Oh, of course. He can't just have Lord of One, greedy.
Now, in fairness, he does tend to go by Druig. Which also sounds like an Irish name.
That's his maiden name.
please, Druig was my father. Call me Druig, Lord of Flames and Nightmares.
It's like, I want to be Lord of the Fires, but I also like Nightmares. Do you think when they were writing them, they were like, no, Druig, Lord of Nightmares, that's not cool enough. What's cooler than Nightmares? Flames.
How do you make something cool? Put flames on it. But this follows on from my last report I did on Icarus of the Eternals. Because Druig is also involved with the Eternals.
He's Sean?
Yeah.
What are the Eternals?
Fuck!
Okay.
Yes!
We'll get there. I'm steadily, every 2 weeks, I'm covering one Eternal until the movies come out.
By the way, I will just give a quick rundown. The Eternals, I'm not going to say what they are, that's your job, but The Eternals is a movie that the MCU is doing. They were meant to already release it, or it's coming out this year. I think it was pushed back.
It was meant to come out in November, it's now coming out February 12th, and we somehow still haven't gotten a trailer for it.
Yeah, and so any day now, I think, unless they push it back again, which is also a very real possibility. But The Turtles is, it's like a bunch of weird gods in space. And everyone said, Marvel won't be able to pull this off, to which they responded with, we can do Guardians of the Galaxy, so we can kind of pull this off too.
Yeah, and so Druig is the character. He's being portrayed by Irish actor Barry Keoghan. Yeah, so this
big
is
big spot.
Big spot, and this is like once you get to this guy, you'll realize like, holy fuck, this is big for like a newcomer to the Marvel universe.
Because we know of him, of Barry here, but like we don't. He's not made it that mainstream in terms of like you can't get much more mainstream than the MCU.
Yeah, this is pop culture. Like he's living through it. So I'm gonna kick off the report here. Little bit of flavour at the start. Druig, Lord of Flames and Nightmares, was the Polarian Eternal, son of Valkyn, which makes him Icarus's cousin.
You're going to have to do a family tree up at some stage on a social media platform so everyone can kind of understand.
Connor, we've had two characters so far.
Two of them. Any listeners that are like have heard that first sentence like, fucking hell. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Let's just all just try and knuckle in, figure out who's who. Icarus, Richard Madden. We have him down. Let's just hang on to him for hope and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you're going to like this next sentence though.
Okay.
A hungry power schemer, Druig was a disappointment to his father. Now, while he was a disappointment, his father would turn a blind eye to Druig's faults. So his father basically refused to see him for the power-hungry madman that he was.
But he knew he was a power-hungry madman or a bit of a dickhead.
He knew he was a bit of a dickhead. He knew he'd stab anyone in the back to get what he wants. Think of Druig as, like, Loki. Like, the worst parts of Loki.
Okay, right. So does he have some of the charm of Loki?
He is a bit of a trickster, shall we say.
Oh, the god of tricks.
That's it. You'll see later on in the report, his tricks are not as whimsical.
I don't like non-whimsical tricks. Give me whimsy all the way.
So, 1,000 years ago, in preparation for the third host of Celestials, you'll remember, a host is any time the Celestials come visit Earth to check on the progress, see how society is evolving.
Okay.
So, Druig worked with Valkyn, his father, Ajak, a family friend, and his uncle Viraco, who is Icarus's father. He worked with them in preparing for the Celestials' arrival. During the preparations, Druig snuck away and attempted to seize power from a deviant known as Dromedan. That name doesn't matter, but it's what he's called.
Now, right, what an intro. Is that like his best man speech?
Well, I can see this being... The reason I left this in... Oh, I like the best man speech line. but I think this will be the intro of the Eternals movie. Is this like peace?
Okay.
So this deviant, Dromedan, he was entombed, he was sealed away.
The deviants are the bad guys, by the way.
Deviants are the bad guys. Thanos is a deviant.
Yeah.
Druig was attempting to just take his power from him, but he ended up unleashing the deviant upon the world. Thor joined up with the Eternals and succeeded in beating the deviant. But it came at the cost of Viraco's life. So Icarus's father died in the battle.
Okay.
Valkyn, who is Druig's father, vouched for his son, who claimed he had an innocent intent in his actions. So again, this is Valkyn just being like, "No, my son isn't that bad.
He only snuck away to." He only stuck away to cause ultimate havoc. Other than that, he's cool.
You cast the first stone. So
let's just fuck around and open up a fucking portal to deviance, he said.
So after the death of Icarus's father, he was adopted by Vulcan, so his uncle, which meant that the Icarus and Druig's relationship became strained, because they were now competing. In Druig's eyes, they were competing for his father's attention now.
It is very similar to Thor and Loki.
Isn't it? Like, it's there's a lot of parallels there.
Okay.
So, the Eternals, like, proliferated throughout history. But I'm going to skip forward a bit to the modern age. So
I like that sentence, by the way. They just true history.
They're just around.
They're just around. Let's just fill in the gaps.
So in modern times, Druig served as an agent of the KGB in Russia, where he found that he enjoyed torturing people.
Oh, very good. Nice to have pastimes.
So when a man called Ziran the Tester came through Russia, Druig planned to kill him using a weapon that he had learned of by torturing his cousin Icarus. However, Icarus disintegrated Druig before he could fire the weapon.
What? Okay, yeah. So is he dead?
His body was then recovered by the Celestials.
Of course.
Who basically brought him back to life in like a stasis container, and then he was eventually broken out of that. Because someone wanted to write with him again. Okay?
So now the stepbrothers have... One of them has basically made the other one crumble into ash.
Exactly. So that might spark a bit of vengeance.
A bit of a rivalry.
Yeah. So maybe Druig Lord in Flames and Nightmares isn't the good guy we all thought he was.
I thought he was like just going to start giving the charity.
Yeah, just like he's a really lovely guy.
Just look, don't let the name fool you, guys. I've opened the soup kitchen because I love you. That's about it.
Meanwhile, Icarus, Lord of Flowers and Sugar, absolute bastard,
kicking orphans on his way to work. The bastard.
So after a time of Druig being returned, all the Eternals lost their memories and believed that they were just regular humans. During this time, Druig became Deputy Prime Minister of Voriz Haika under the name Ivan Druig.
Right, okay. That's a made-up country like Sokovia.
Yes, yeah. It's just general Eastern European sounding.
Okay.
So Druig hired Cersei, who's also an Eternal, to organise a party at the Voriz Haika embassy, asking her to invite wealthy guests and prominent scientists under the guise of promoting tourism to their Soviet nation.
Oh, under the guise. I don't like that sentence.
Well, Connor, that film degree didn't go to waste because...
Under the guise of giving them money, you mean?
No, he arranged for armed men to storm the party, kidnap the scientists and manufacture a hostage situation.
Interesting. Okay, that's got a different way than I expected.
Very true. However, one of his co-conspirators turned against him and ordered the mercenaries to murder Druig as well as the hostages once the scientists were taken away.
So this guy started off as a good guy. He's part of the Eternals and everything.
Yes.
And true that he's gone into the bad area, he just became a bit of a dickhead. Icarus killed him. And then they brought him back from the dead, because in comic books, nobody is ever dead. They just, a writer leaves, another writer comes back, brings them back. So now he's back, and he's full on taken up the mantle of evil guy, who is now prime minister of his own country, and he's kind of like Lex Luthering it. But now he's also trying to do a coup. Can it be a coup in his own country if he's the Prime Minister?
He's the Vice Prime Minister.
Vice Prime Minister, I do apologise.
So he can very well throw a coup in that case.
you can at that stage, yes.
So, in addition to Cersei being at the party, there were other...
Cersei's being played by Angelina Jolie, I think.
Angelina Jolie, yeah.
Yeah.
I might cover her next time.
Maybe.
I'll be honest, her report is a lot.
Okay.
So there were other Eternals at the party in addition to Cersei and Druig. And their close proximity created, as we've touched on in my last report, the Uni Mind, where Eternals' minds fuse and become more powerful temporarily. Because of this, they experienced a reawakening of their mental powers. And what's crucial about Druig is he experienced a reawakening of his ambitions. So,
now he's going to look for jobs at LinkedIn.
That's it. He's updated the CV, said Vice Prime Minister.
He's had a rough couple of months, haven't we all? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you think, today's the day. Today's the day I'm going on to start doing a few clicks.
Well, on Druig's front, it's more so he stopped wanting to be just the Prime Minister and he now wants to be the head of the Eternals.
Oh, right. That's a bit of a step up.
A bit of a promotion there.
I want to go from Vice Prime Minister from a random country to head of the gods.
I want to be Zeus.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So, returning to Vorazika, Druig seized control of an army unit and rounded up all the heads of government. He then had all the people involved at the betrayal at the embassy dragged before him and gave the heads of government a choice. They could either kill a betrayer or kill themselves.
Oh, okay.
Classic trickster.
There's not a lot of whimsy there. Not a lot of room to manoeuvre. To be fair, Loki does take that guy's eye in Avengers. Not a lot of whimsy there either.
No one really touches on that. Everyone just loves how charming he is now.
He's a bit of an anti-hero who's taking eyes.
He's taking a man's eye.
Haven't we all been there?
After one government head attempted to kill Druig, he forced the man to kill himself. With this small but bloody revolution, Druig took control of Vorazika.
So now he's the Prime Minister.
Yeah, he's very much in like a Doctor Doom position of power at this point.
He's a leader of his own country.
Exactly, which means he also has diplomatic immunity now.
But say it properly if you're going to do
diplomatic it. Diplomatic immunity.
Thank you. But does he have godlike powers?
He does. He does indeed.
So he's just walking amongst humans, but he's just like a god.
Yeah, like he has all the powers of an Eternal. But this is more interesting.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So, as the other Eternals began to awaken, Zuras, who, if you'll remember, is the head of the Eternals at the minute, needed Druig's help in containing the Dreaming Celestial. So the Celestial that's buried in the Arctic Circle and sealed away.
There's a lot to cover in this movie. If they're attempting to cover all of this in one 2.5-hour film... Fair fucks.
I looked up the summary. It says it's covering the saga of the Eternals.
That's a lot of random names and gods and side quests.
Look, I'm interested. Let's say that.
Let's see if they can pull it off.
Let's see if it pays off, Cotton. So in exchange for his assistance in this matter, Druig made Zuras vow to leave Vorazika to him. For him to rule. And Zuras, head of the Eternals, reluctantly agreed to this request.
So now he's been left alone.
Yeah, in exchange for his help, he just gets to do his own thing now. And they're not happy about it, but he's very powerful and they need
him. They're kicking stones in the street like, okay, fine. Like, he's going to do murders and we want to stop him.
So, once the Dreaming Celestial was contained, an arms race began between Zuras and Druig. They were trying to locate other Eternals to build their forces. So, Druig found he could brainwash Eternals to his cause and establish nearly a dozen followers.
Right, so he must be charismatic, or is he doing it through powers?
It is brainwashing. So, the Eternals are kind of like...
Oh.
They don't remember that they're Eternals at this point. So when he awakens them, he just fucks with their mind and be like, yeah, and I'm your leader and you serve me and anything I say goes.
Oh, okay, alright. That makes sense. Yeah, that's like the Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence film. He just wakes them up from their pod and is just like, I'm unreal. I'm absolutely great.
I'm the best.
I'm the best. And you love me. Before you went to sleep, you kept talking, oh man, I love that guy who's the Lord of the Flames.
So, this is really cool. This might be the climax of the movie. So, during all this arms race, Icarus has become the Prime Eternal. He's become the leader of the good Eternals, shall we say.
The King in the North.
The King in the North. But Icarus grew tired of allowing Druig to just run free and do whatever he wanted. So what he did
was... He's kind of just like, I've already disintegrated this guy once, and now he's back causing more havoc.
Yeah, Icarus does not like him.
It's Thor has become leader and Loki's causing shit, and he's just like, fucking hell, solved this mess.
I'm done with it. So... because he was tired of allowing Druig to do whatever he wanted, Icarus abdicated any ties to Olympia, which is kind of the leadership of the Eternals. He said, I'm fucking done. Which meant he was no longer bound by the promise made to leave Druig alone.
Oh, so he had to retire from his job to kick the shit out of him.
Yep, and he attacked Vorazika directly.
But he still has godlike powers, yeah?
Yeah, they both have godlike powers, so it's just like...
Oh, yeah.
Two of the same car with a full tank of petrol chasing after each other.
Oh, sounds good!
Icarus battled Druig and his corrupted Eternals alone. So Icarus takes on, 13 Eternals by himself.
So he must be, the most powerful.
Yeah, we said this last week that... Icarus is super strong and powerful, but he's super fucking thick. He's headstrong as fuck, and he doesn't think.
And so he's walked right into a 13-on-1 situation.
Yeah. And so what Icarus does, because he puts up a good fight, but it is 13 gods against one god.
Yeah.
Icarus led them into battle with his allies in San Francisco, the X-Men.
What?
So
the X-Men turn up.
Yeah, Icarus is just like, hey, I'm near a bunch of X-Men who could really help me, and I'm on good terms with them. So he brings the fight to them.
Do I follow them on Twitter? I do. Fuck. Logan, get over here.
So ultimately, Druig and all the Eternals joined forces to counter a sudden threat from space known as the Horde. Now,
what the...
Connor, you're going to really think this is cool. I promise. I swear to God, bear with me.
Come on. Okay. I swear to God, bear with me. Okay, come on.
So, when the Eternals come back to judge humanity, at the end of everything, after their experiment has run its course, they take a reading of the energy on the planet. And they
the
see
vibes
what,
aren't good here, they say.
Very similar. So, the way there's Eternals and Deviants... If the energy from all of humanity leans more towards Eternals, then the Celestials absorb their power. But if it leans more towards the Deviants, then the Horde absorbs all the power.
Right. Okay. So it's like... So the good guys and the bad guys of the gods, so they at the end of it they're going to come down to Earth, and if Earth is if it's leaning more so on the bad side... then the bad gods get all the power.
Yes.
And vice versa.
That's it. So it happens with every planet that Celestials do an experiment on, that this is the agreement, that whichever way it leans at the end, they get to absorb the power.
What do you think, what way do you think Earth is leaning right now?
Oh, I hope they don't come soon, let me say.
I hope the Horde are hungry.
I hope they've not had din-dins yet.
Because they're going to get fed quite a lot.
So, in terms of powers and abilities for Druig, it's very similar, I'll say, to Icarus. So he has near immortality, super strength, superhuman stamina, telepathy, illusions, telekinesis, flight... energy projection, teleportation, and matter transmutation.
So all the powers.
All the powers, pretty much. But when it gets really interesting is when you look at his power grid. So he has an intelligence of 5, as opposed to Icarus's 2.
Right. So the more you talk, the more I'm just thinking of Loki and Thor. Like, I would consider Loki smarter than Thor.
Definitely.
But Thor is a better person. So all their scenarios is Loki just talking shit and just doing shithousery. And Thor's like, I'm going to beat him up. And when he runs at him, he falls into a pit of bears or some shit. Because Loki's like, you always run at me. I'm obviously going to set up a pit of bears.
Yeah, you don't think these things through. You just rely on being strong.
Yeah, whereas Loki has had to, like, change his tactics, realizing he's probably not the strongest, but now he can be the smartest. So the more you're talking, all I can think of is, like, that dynamic can be done again in a godlike way.
That's it. And we touched on it in my last report, that the Eternals all specialise in something. Like, no Eternal really is 7s across the board. And Druig is, like, he's a psycho, but he's a master tactician as well. And he's like Loki, he can think his way out of a fight. He doesn't have to resort to fighting. But saying that, his strength is 4, his fighting skills are 4, his energy projection is 6, and his speed and durability are both 7s.
Right. Oh, so he's fast and smart instead of, like, bulky and dumb.
Yeah, which I like. It is that Loki dynamic. And I think it works so fucking well. And
I think there's a lot. This is why the Eternals are so interesting. Like, even you doing this report, you are doing an absolutely amazing job. Much shit to get through. Like, and all these names are things that are obviously a bit weird. But after a movie or half a movie, all these names will just be the same. Like, Thor, God of Thunder, or whatever. Like, that's a weird name, but it's fine. And Loki, like, they're weird names, but we just
like Groot, Gamora, Nebula, fuck, you know, like,
yeah, like, you doing it now, we don't have any cultural reference, but, like, when the movie comes out, these reports will just be like, oh yeah, I know that character, I seen him in the film.
Yeah, and it simplifies it so much, because they condense all the information down to what is necessary for the character.
I think he's probably, as you said, he'll be the driving force of the film, though. Like, because he's probably the most interesting one.
Yeah, like, yeah. What, like, if all of these gods are meant to be good and defend humanity, what happens when one of them gets greedy, is the question.
Yeah, one of them besides, I want more than being a god, which is, like, a terrible, like, it's a weird thing to say, but there's always going to be one dickhead who wants more.
Yeah, and I think in terms of even the way, and we keep referring to the movie because it's probably the most, like, cultural exposure the Eternals will ever get. But, like, Richard Madden playing off Barry Keoghan in this dynamic sounds really fucking interesting to me.
And Barry Keoghan, I think, is Richard Madden is a big enough guy. Whereas Barry Keoghan, I always think of as smaller. Now, if you don't know who Barry Keoghan is, I would recommend googling him. Like, but he's probably of a smaller stature, so it'd be very easy for them to fall into those roles of, like, big, handsome, tough guy who's just like, "I'll fuck you up," and then you have the shifty guy who's a lot smarter.
Yeah, I think it's Richard Madden very much looks like your typical hero, as you say, he's built like a superhero. Whereas Barry Keoghan does look like that slightly more reserved kind, but still, like, incredibly, he has a power to him, but he's not showing you until it's too late, kind of thing.
I also think of Martian Manhunter when you're going through all of these. Like, they all just remind me of, like, the Martian Manhunters just in general, like that whole race of aliens, because they all have telepathy, they're all super strong, can fly, can turn invisible. And they all have a thing, but the difference is that in the Eternals, every one of them specializes in something. I don't know if that's the same in the DC comic book. I think it's very much seen as they can all do it all.
Yeah, like, it's like how any Kryptonian who comes to Earth will have the power of Superman, kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's part of the race. Like, that's just, everyone has those powers, and none of them could handle fire. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think if you it is very interesting if you take a lot of gods and they're all super strong, but they all have strengths in different areas, that would make it a lot easier to create a plot line from that if you're going to do a film. Whereas if everyone's the same character, then what is the point? You end up with the Power Rangers.
That's it, where they're all equally as good as each other, which means none of them is special.
There's no need for six. What you want is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle situation. You need someone who's smart, someone who's strong. That is what you need.
That is actually it. Like, you've just summed it up there. You need the Ninja Turtles, not the Power Rangers in the Eternals
movie. If you're building any comic book team, you need the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mantra instead of the Power Rangers mantra of, we'll all morph and we'll just see what happens. Where in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a ridiculous idea for a comic book, but they absolutely nail the fact that no matter how ridiculous it is, that they all have their own speciality, so that they all are needed.
Yeah, they're just, yeah. Fuck, you've summarised that so well.
Doesn't happen often, Sean.
No, but look, when it does, it's beautiful.
It was bound to happen once every 350 episodes.
That's when we have a real winner of an analogy.
Would you like me to take us out, Sean?
Yes, please, Connor. Thank you for listening to my nonsense.
By the way, I am very much trying to drive the fact that there will be a shirt that says Sean, what are the Eternals on it? Sean's not happy with it, but I'm very much trying to get it going.
If I see you wearing one of those shirts in public, I will not speak to you.
Speaking of shirts, Sean, we do have two brand new designs coming to our store next week on the 21st. I think that is Thursday of next week. So that will coincide with a 21% off deal that we are going to be running over there. So there's going to be a 21% deal off everything on the store, and there's going to be two brand new designs going up there if you want to check that out. The link is down below for the store at the minute. You can get merch with the logo on it at the minute, but if you want to wait a week, then you can get some new exciting stuff. There's going to be some Hero Zero stuff. Some other kind of stuff. You know the general vibe. I might put out a teaser during the week.
Mike, look at you. Social media expert that you are.
I can sometimes sign into Facebook every so often. I'd be a madman for those Despicable Me memes.
You love a minion. They're like... Which would you prefer? The Rayman Raving Rabbids or the Minions?
Which would I prefer? Neither. Which one do I see more than Minions?
That's fair. Okay, I respect that.
There was a 4-year span where all I seen from anyone older than me, anyone older than 50 on Facebook, was just Minions.
I think that's still going on, isn't it?
But you don't have to look at Minions, Sean, because we have a very old Facebook group that is privatized. You want to head over there, Detective Devilman's discussion group that we host over there, if you want to head on over, you can join up to the group and you get specialised comic book and nerd stuff news. There's all the listeners of the show are just all in the group just having a chat. There's no Minions. If I see a Minion post from any of you, you're getting kicked.
That's my one rule.
You're allowed to say whatever you want to each other, but one Minion, and I'll have to have a long, hard think about it. Also, we are on Facebook and Twitter, and we have our own Facebook page as well. We're on Twitter at Heroes for Hire Pod, the 4 is the number 4. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And I think that's about it. We also have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/ Heroes for Hire Podcast if you want to support the show. If you head on over there, we put out an extra episode every single month called The Lazarus Pit, where we do a movie review of a selected movie. Now, I will say that we normally give it up to the listeners or to the patrons. We ask them, what movie would they like us to review? Everyone's thrown in an idea. They're all in the hat. And then once a month, we pull it out and we do a 90-minute review on it.
Yeah, and it's genuinely a really fun time. And also, if you watch the movie beforehand, it's great. But also, I think we do a pretty good job of talking through a movie.
Sometimes I have to watch Batman and Robin and my eyes bleed.
Sometimes we both watch Jingle All the Way.
We did. I got to watch Arnie fight a reindeer. Not many people can say that.
He sucks.
So I think that's it for this week's Hero Zero, Sean.
What a week. Thank you very much for taking us out, Connor. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I think that's about it.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.